send us men whose age will be not to defend some ancient creed, but to live out the laws of Christ in every thought and word and deed. God send us men alert and quick, His lofty precepts to translate, until the laws of Christ become the laws and habits of the state.
Welcome to God Send Us Men Ministries with evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart. We challenge you to open your Bible and follow along with today's message. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. To contact us or read and listen to more teachings online for free, visit GodSendUsMen.com. And now, here is evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for taking the time to listen again this morning. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Please take your Bibles and turn to Psalm chapter 11. Well, this coming week, there's going to be another speaking to in my nearly five-year-long battle with the state of Missouri. As you know, I don't claim the Constitution as my own. I don't claim man's statutes for my own. I do not claim the Magna Carta. I claim only the scriptures, only the laws of God for myself. I've never said that man's documents never have any truth in them. I mean, that would be a silly thing to say. I mean, I've written books. I preach messages. My books and my messages, they don't simply quote scripture. I mean, I attempt to explain the word as the Father has revealed it to me over the course of the last 50 plus years. And yes, I realize that many, many other quote preachers out there can and do say the same thing. But how many other quote preachers out there do you know that have lived their entire adult life being as separated from men's governments, teaching against men's governments, and calling people out of men's governments and solely and completely into the kingdom of God? Not many, very few. The foundations have been destroyed to the point where I believe, in order to begin restoring those foundations, explanations of the Word of God have become necessary, because in order to destroy the foundations, the words of God had to have been twisted into things they were never meant to say. It is the Word of God, the immutable, unchanging Word of God, that should be the one constant from generation to generation that keeps the kingdom of God alive and well and functioning among men. But Paul warned that the truth of God would be changed into a lie. And when that happens, the foundations have started to crumble. So my books, my teachings, though extra biblical in the understanding that I'm simply explaining what we all should already know but do not, is proper. The proper teaching of the Word of God from the proper perspective is good and godly. The problem with the great majority of men's documents, and though some contain truth, is that what is being said is not presented from the proper perspective, that being that the kingdom of God was established in the first century. Yahweh has taken back all the kingdoms of the world to himself. And no man has the authority from God to create their own governments. No man has the authority from God to define or redefine good and evil, then legislate those definitions on other men, then force them to obey those definitions. This is the first form of rebellion that man committed in the garden, and it's the ultimate form of rebellion today. Listen to me, please. It's the highest form of rebellion to the God of heaven for a man to speak or put on a piece of paper, or for a collective group of men to speak or put on paper definitions of what they say are good and evil, and attach penalties for not obeying their definitions. I don't care if you claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ and you even call him Yeshua. You do not have the authority to define or redefine good and evil. I'll challenge anyone, anywhere, to come up with, now listen to me, something they call a crime. Now again, calling something a crime is a dead giveaway. The scripture calls wrongdoing sin. And sin is only the transgression of the law of God. There is no other definition for sin contained in the Word of God. I'd say the greatest majority of things that man's government have called, quote, crimes are not sin. And if it's not sin, there has been no wrongdoing. And if there has been no wrongdoing, then there should be no punishment. All right, someone might say, well, what about dads laying down rules for their children? Okay, that's fair. Curfew. Be in the house by 10 p.m. Okay, where is that in the scripture? Where are curfew laws for children in the scripture? Honor thy father and your mother is my response. But isn't establishing rules for your children defining or redefining good and evil? No, it's not. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Godly dads and moms are not going to define or redefine good and evil based on anything other than the law of God. Obey them that have the rule over you, for they watch for your souls. What does rule mean? Again, it means to measure. It means to measure one's actions according to the laws of God. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Curfew laws for children are based on the laws of God concerning the actions that mostly take place at night under the cover of darkness. The scriptures are loaded with principles concerning walking in the light and fleeing the darkness. What about establishing other boundaries for your children? Is this defining or redefining good and evil? Absolutely not. The scriptures tell us that God himself has established the bounds of habitations for his creation. The Father, a man's earthly father, stands in the place of the heavenly Father, and Yahweh uses the earthly father to reveal himself to the children. The position of earthly father, when that earthly father is committed to the kingdom of God and the laws of God, is the highest God-given authority in the new covenant world. Back in the 70s and 80s, a man came bursting onto the scene of the religious world and began teaching what he called biblical authority to the young people in America. And the main thrust of his religion was obeying authority. He called his work Institute in Basic Life Principles. And he taught obeying parents, which is great, but he destroyed it all by implanting in the minds of all those young people that obeying men's governments was also at the forefront of life principles. He argued, and as I am today, that God has given authority to the Father, and I absolutely believe that. But then he argued that God has given authority to, quote, government. But where he was absolutely, totally wrong was in the concept that man, fathers, and or, quote, governments, can take on the authority of God to redefine or define good and evil and then legislate accordingly. Yes, an earthly father can punish disobedient children for violating a 10 p.m. curfew or going places that they're not allowed to go to. But that is because the rules laid down by a godly earthly father are going to be established from the clear definitions of good and evil that God has already defined in his word. A godly earthly father is not going to make demands on his children that God has not already established through the principles we learn from the word and from the will of God as we see it based on the facts and the history lessons contained in his word. Listen now. If a parent demands something of a child that violates the laws of God, the child is to obey God. Christ himself gave that example when he was 12 years old. His parents had left the city. thinking that their boy, Jesus, Yeshua, was in the caravan. And why they didn't make 100% sure, I don't know. But after a day or so, I don't remember the exact details, but they realized that their young son was not along for the ride. So they returned to the city to find him, and finding him teaching in the temple, when certainly his worried parents rebuked him for not being in the caravan, he offered a simple response, "I must be about my father's will." Now, children, you better hear this and hear it well. If you disobey your parents, you absolutely better be able to 100% prove it was because the parents gave you instructions that would have otherwise caused you to violate the laws of God. Now, none of us are Yeshua today, even though we're to follow his example. So I think I'm safe in saying that if you have godly parents that are committed to the kingdom of God and to the laws of God, your safest route in life is to obey your parents in the Lord, for this is good. Bill Gothard taught that men's governments are ordained of God, and as such, just like an earthly father, they are allowed to establish boundaries, to pass, quote, laws, and then legislate penalties for a man failing to live up to those definitions. This is a fatally flawed, fatally reasoned, fatally concluded teaching that has done more to destroy the foundations, possibly, than any other teaching. And I've said this before, and I don't know which is one and which one is two, but the 1-2 punch is this. The teaching that all Bible prophecy was not fulfilled in Christ in the first century, or stated another way, that what we're seeing today is the fulfillment of Bible prophecy, and that the kingdom of God is future, or two, that man has the authority from God to establish their own governments and then define or redefine definitions of good and evil and legislate accordingly. I do not know which order these things should be in, but they're the 1-2 punch. If I had to say which order, I guess I'd have to say the fatally flawed teaching regarding unfulfilled Bible prophecy, because that places the kingdom of God in the future and then allows for men's governments today. If the kingdom of God is future, then the ordination of man's governments by God himself continues. It's the fulfillment of Bible prophecy by Christ that establishes the fulfillment of the Davidic covenant of 2 Samuel chapter 7. And since the Davidic covenant of 2 Samuel chapter 7 was fulfilled with the resurrection of Christ, then the days where God allowed the nations to rule themselves is over. Friends, you need to listen to what I'm saying today. Almost every single, quote, preacher in the world today is preaching that the Davidic covenant is yet to be fulfilled. I challenge you to do a search. Search this. The Davidic covenant fulfilled with the resurrection of Christ. And until you get to about the 1,000,000th search result, because I'll assure you that my website is buried so far down the Google search engine, I'll be shocked if you find anyone else tying 2 Samuel chapter 7 to Acts chapter 2 until you get to www.godsendusmen.com. We've talked about this so many times before because it's so fundamental to the understanding of who Christ was and who he is today. But brothers and sisters, if you've been listening to me preach and you cannot quote nearly word for word Acts 2:29 through 31, I beg you, I plead with you, go to Acts 2:29 through 31 and read it and read it and read it until it becomes as common to you as anything else in your present memory. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. The fulfillment of the Davidic covenant of 2 Samuel chapter 7 is not a future event in no way, shape, or form. Jesus, Yeshua the Christ, fulfilled the Davidic covenant of 2 Samuel chapter 7 when God raised him from the dead. And if you do not believe this, then there is no possible way that Jesus, Yeshua, was the Christ. There is no possible way he could have been the Messiah. No way. That's why the Jews say what they say and the rabbis laugh to scorn the modern churchian preacher. So to pacify the Jewish rabbi, the churchians have helped perpetuate the lie of unfulfilled Bible prophecy, and they have done so to their own destruction and to the destruction of those that have followed their pernicious ways, 2 Peter 2:2. So again, my perspective that the king and kingdom already came is why you should continue listening to these messages and why I'm allowed to explain through preaching to try to help people cast off the deplorable doctrines that they've adopted by listening to and believing the false prophets of the quote church. I said all that to say this: men, even men who are misguided, whether by choice or by deception, can say things that contain truth. And the Magna Carta was apparently born out of necessity in man's attempts to say that before a man can be deprived of his life or his freedom, due process must be followed. Well, God demands this. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. God demands due process. The Magna Carta, again, I don't claim it as my own, but even that document demands due process. I'm being hauled once again into a speaking to where every ounce of due process, decency, and civility has been stripped from the proceedings in an attempt to railroad me and silence me in my life of living and preaching the kingdom of God. And I would again ask you to hold up our arms. Please lift my family up in your prayers this coming Tuesday, beginning at 9 a.m. Central Time. The battle has been long. It's taken its toll. We need your prayers. We need your support. I asked you at the beginning to open to Psalm chapter 11, and let's begin this morning with verse number 1. In Yahweh put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privately shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Anyone who sees or fails to see that the foundations have not been destroyed is in serious need of a reexamination of life in America today. Godly foundations have long since been destroyed, and now even the very foundations of their own society are finally coming crashing down. I don't need to spend even a minute of today's message talking about what's been going on since early this spring with their bogus coronavirus pandemic. I don't need to spend any time talking about the current news mania of the killing of George Floyd and everything that's come about from it. By the way, though, I am going to say this. Are Teresa and I the only ones that noticed some really weird things about Floyd's death? I mean, since when does the nightly news actually show someone being killed right on the news? And I realize that they claim that he died hours later, but come on, we all saw what we saw. But to my knowledge, this is the only time I can recall where they have ever shown over and over with no warnings for graphic content, no telling your children to cover their eyes. I mean, nothing. Just a camera focusing over and over and over that cop killing Floyd. I mean, they even showed a close-up, and I'm sorry to be crude, of Floyd losing control of his bodily functions. I don't know that I've ever seen that on TV in my life. Well, maybe I have and just don't recall. I mean, I think I remember a while back where the cops were chasing some black guy in North or South Carolina, and they shot him in the back. And I mean, you see him fall to the ground. But other than that, I can't remember seeing such graphic detail as were being shown. And I found that odd. And I just thought, wow, someone is really wanting to make sure that there's a violent response to what happened. And it just seems so strange to me. And Teresa commented about it, too. But it seems like someone out there, whether it was the stay-at-home orders or now the rioting and looting and protesting, but it just seems like there's a real concerted effort to cause so much insurrection that another, quote, civil war seems to be close. I don't know, but it just seems so timely. But the foundations of not just the Word of God, but of everything that we've grown accustomed to are being upheaved. Do we need to spend more time discussing the fact? I didn't really think so, but I've received several emails in the past week from sincere, Bible-believing, searching followers of Christ who I believe may still not understand why we're at the place we are today. Almost 2 years ago, I was given airtime on Missouri Liberty Radio, and I began preaching the series on Matthew 24 that all, A-L-L, all Bible prophecy has been fulfilled. I provided scripture after scripture. I answered questions and objections. I showed how it's the Jews' religion is the source for making men believe that the prophecies were not fulfilled in Christ. I mean, those who wanted to retain some semblance of being a follower of Jesus Christ, they've adopted a religion, and it's totally separate from the teachings of Christ. And to say that Jesus or even Yeshua was the Christ, but someday he'll come again and fulfill the prophecies. And while they're saying that statement, the Jews are laughing, saying that Jesus, Yeshua, was not the Messiah, because even the churchmen say that Jesus, Yeshua, did not fulfill the prophecies. The Jews are looking for their Messiah to come. The churchians are looking for their, quote, Messiah to come again. The Messiah of the Jew and the Messiah of the churchians are one and the same. They are a false Messiah. Properly understanding the clear words of Christ, verily I say unto you, that's Jesus, Yeshua, to his disciples 2,000 years ago, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled, has to be believed and embraced if one is going to be able to understand the teachings of Christ, then properly apply them in his life. This is the most basic understanding towards attaining biblical life-changing truth, and very few people today have it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And almost the entire world thinks the kingdom of God is not for today. If the kingdom of God is future, then why in the world did Christ say to seek it first? Many churchians, they'll quickly backtrack and they'll admit that certain elements of the kingdom of God are relevant today. Or there's dual fulfillments or dual prophecies or dual applications. The kingdom of God is purely in the spiritual realm today, but will not be manifest in the physical world until sometime in the future. And this is why we're in the shape we're in today. If the kingdom of God is not for today, meaning men are now free to build, quote, churches and states, then the result of this rebellion is going to be exactly what we're seeing today. Last month, I read an article online with the headline, Chicago Police Bang on Church Doors to Stop Services, Film Everyone Who Arrived. Let's read some of this today, and we can see several more major reasons as to why the foundations have been destroyed. Quote, this is from Ash Schow, it looks like, S-C-H-O-W. Quote, the pastor of a Chicago church said multiple police cars and a government representative showed up at his church on Sunday demanding services end. Pastor Courtney Lewis of Cornerstone Baptist Church told Todd Starnes on his radio show that he was in the middle of church services when someone began to bang loudly on the front doors. Outside, he said, were three police cars, two unmarked cars, and a representative from Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot's office. Lewis told Starnes it was like, quote, Soviet-style KGB. Now, I want you to remember this Chicago mayor, Lori Lightfoot. Okay, we're going to get back to her in just a minute. Continuing with the article. The only thing she hasn't done is beat the doors down and arrest our members, Lewis added. The pastor went on to say that church members were told it was protocol not to open the doors and that police were denied entry. Quote, thankfully, our doors were locked as a normal safety precaution we take each service to protect our members from the escalating gun violence in Chicago, Lewis told Starnes. An usher outside the church reportedly saw the mayor's representative try to force their way into the building. They didn't get in, but began taking pictures outside. Someone in one of the unmarked cars allegedly began filming and taking pictures of attendees arriving for services. Quote, the mayor wants to educate everyone into compliance, which means intimidate, Lewis said. After the incident, Lewis wrote a letter to U.S. Attorney John Lausch to complain about what happened and ask for assistance, saying Lightfoot is defiant of the U.S. Constitution and our freedom to worship and has a history of defying the law. She is one of few former U.S. prosecutors in the U.S. to be censured by the Seventh Circuit Judge Rovner and the entire Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals for defying their order, he noted. Lewis then outlined how his church, quote, has gone out of its way to follow CDC guidelines, including having online services, outdoor services, and practicing all social distancing requirements. We are even taking members' temperatures on the way in our church doors, he added. We are not allowing our elderly to attend services, end quote. Then he continued, we're trying to follow the laws of man as much as reasonably possible, but when the laws of man conflict with the laws of God, I, as a pastor, have a duty to follow the laws of God. We will not be intimidated by this overhanded government bully, but we are requesting the assistance of our president and our Justice Department in correcting the grave miscarriage of the law. If it were not for a Chicago church practicing and reaching others, I personally would be one of the people perpetuating the violence on the streets of Chicago as I grew up on the streets of Chicago until I was reached for Christ through a church meeting together, not an online service, end quote. All right, let's look at this closer. And for those of you who already see all this, I mean, please bear with me. The foundations are destroyed. We have a situation here with something called church. And we have talked about this many, many times, nearly every week. And I did a series on ecclesia versus church. The truth is there. The English word church should not even be in our English Bibles. Jesus, Yeshua, did not die for. He did not establish something called church. The Greek word wrongly, deceptively, purposely twisted into something it was never intended for is ecclesia. And ecclesia is government. It is kingdom. It is the called out. Called out from what? Called out of the kingdoms of the world and into the kingdom of Christ, the nation of God. And that nation has a name, and it's found in Ephesians chapter 2, and it's called the Commonwealth of Israel. The Bible is a book about Israel, to Israel, for Israel. You know, I was thinking a while back, because it's just so irritating when I hear it. But when I see people in the world talking about, for instance, and they love this, the God of the Bible was a mean, bloodthirsty bully. Well, I think, well, what difference does that make to you? That Bible wasn't written to you. It wasn't written for you. You really have no business even commenting about it because you couldn't possibly understand the first thing about it. The book was written by Israelites, to Israelites, and for Israelites. And if you aren't one, or you're not having an Israelite explain to you what the book means, then you can't possibly make an articulate, educated comment regarding the book. The book is for the Commonwealth of Israel. And for those who claim to be and understand the Commonwealth of Israel, then it becomes a lot easier to understand how things like the word church for instance, have been twisted, manipulated, and turned into something it is not. Citizens of the Commonwealth of Israel know exactly why God executed judgment on rebellious people, and rebellious people who were many times were Israelites. We know why he did what he did, and we're grateful for to him for it, because he's showing us exactly how to avoid the same consequences that came on those who are recorded in the facts and the history of the first 39 books of the Bible. I mean, revealing his righteous judgments is one of the greatest acts of kindness and compassion that men could ever see. And those of us of the book, those of us of the Commonwealth of Israel, understand exactly why God did what he did. And we're grateful that the mind and will of God has been revealed to us. Do you know how many preachers or quote preachers there are in the world today who say that God's true people are supposed to be called the Commonwealth of Israel? Hardly any. So few you could probably count them on your fingers. I mean, you might need your toes, but I doubt it. In fact, the overwhelming majority of quote preachers out there today would condemn what I'm saying the Bible so clearly teaches faster than you could shake a stick, or whatever that means. When I was in Bible college and when I was, quote, ministering in the Baptist, quote, church, if I would have made the statement, the Jews are not God's chosen people, but those who claim Christ are the true Israel of God, I would have been ridden out of those places so fast, your head would spin, whatever that means. But there should be nothing more clear, nothing more foundational than to understand that the book is a book about Israel, by Israel, and for Israel. Yet, foundationally speaking in the world today, most, the great majority of people who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ of the Bible, claim that a group of people who have never accepted Jesus Yeshua as the Christ and the Messiah, they claim that those people in the Middle East are, quote, God's chosen people. And those are the same people who believe, promote, live, and die by this deception called, quote, church. Until we actively begin verbally attacking, and I said verbally attacking, that false concept of, quote, church, we will never begin to uncover the foundations that have been destroyed. The Ecclesia of God is not a weakened social organization that meets in a building. The Ecclesia of God is the government of God. If there is a building where God's people come together and meet in from time to time, it is for the purpose of making sure that the laws of God are continually at the forefront of society, and the laws of God are what governs the community. Instead, you know it, I know it. The quote church is a place where U.S. citizens go and meet to talk about how they are to obey the laws, the statutes of their little quote, of their little g government. Quote again, the preacher said, we are trying to follow the laws of man as much as responsibly possible. Reasonably possible. But when the laws of man conflict with the laws of God, I as a pastor have a duty to follow the laws of God. We will not be intimidated by this overhanded government bully, but we are requesting the assistance of our president and our Justice Department in correcting the grave miscarriage of the law. If it were not for Chicago Church practicing and reaching others, I personally would be one of the people perpetuating the violence on the streets of Chicago as I grew up on the streets of Chicago until I was reached for Christ through a church meeting together, not an online service. What should have been said is that we recognize only the laws of God, and we demand that all the people in Chicago bow down to the one and only King, forsake their laws, forsake their statues, and submit only to the kingdom of God. Outside, he said, were three police cars, two unmarked cars, and a representative from Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot's office. Lewis told Starnes it was, quote, like the Soviet-style KJB. Well, who is this Lori Lightfoot, mayor of Chicago? Quote, Lori Elaine Lightfoot, born August 4, 1962, is an American politician and lawyer who has, since May 19, served as the 56th mayor of Chicago. Before becoming mayor, Lightfoot worked in private legal practice as a partner at Mayor Brown and held various government positions in the city of Chicago. Most notably, she served as president of the Chicago Police Board and chair of the Chicago Police Accountability Task Force. Lightfoot ran for mayor of Chicago in 2019, advancing to a runoff election against Tony Preckwinkle in the February 2019 election. She defeated Preckwinkle in the runoff on April 2, 2019. She is a member of the Democratic Party. Lightfoot is the first openly gay African-American woman to be elected mayor of a major city in the United States. She is the first openly LGBT person, the first African-American woman, the second woman, and the third African-American woman to be mayor of Chicago, end quote. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? At what point will these, quote, preachers begin to reevaluate the whole concept of man's governments to be a foundational issue of the problem? Soviet-style KGB agents from the office of the first openly LGBT mayor of a large U.S. city storm his, quote, church building, and his response is that we are trying to obey man's law as much as we reasonably can. We've gone out of our way to follow CDC guidelines, including having online services, outdoor services, and practicing all social distancing requirements, end quote. The people of God go out of their way to follow the guidelines of the scripture, the word of God, exclusively. Where is it ever told for the people of God to submit to the edicts of queers and sodomites? There was a time recorded in the facts and the history of the scriptures where one of Abraham's relatives was living among cities ran by sodomites and queers. Well, the city was even called Sodom. And the principles learned from the facts and the history of that very famous story regarding Lot and his wife and children was for them to leave the city of Sodom. And when Lot's wife refused to completely let go and do what God commanded, she was destroyed along with the city. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Well, there is a solution offered in the scriptures. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Now, there's one answer to if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? As I've often said, I'm glad to see resistance, any resistance to evil. But when this quote preacher said, we're trying to follow the laws of man as much as reasonably possible, okay, even though I believe it's just lip service to the laws of God, maybe, just maybe, hopefully, if there are any sincere seekers in Chicago, God is using this to wake them up to the truth that the foundations have been destroyed and it's time for God's people to assemble. Gather yourselves together and escape the nations. God's people have got to come to the truth concerning the holy nation of Israel as described in 1 Peter chapter 2 and named in Ephesians 2. We need to understand that, quote, church is not the answer, but is actually the problem. And we need to call people out of those institutions and point them to the truth of what ecclesia is really meant to be. Hearing a, quote, preacher in a church say, when the laws of man conflict with the laws of God, I as a pastor have a duty to follow the laws of God. Sadly, it's one step forward, but it's two steps backward. The laws and statutes of men are at the very root of the foundational problems we're having and allowing men to continue thinking that it's okay for men to make governments and laws and statutes as long as those governments and laws and statutes are tolerable is killing us. This week we saw Donald Trump clearing a path with tear gas so he could stand in front of a cathedral in Washington and hold up a Bible. And I just know that so many people saw that and thought how great that was, that he would hold up a Bible for his photo op. The minister of God, as described in Romans 13, is a devout man of God, a preacher of the gospel of the kingdom, and a devout follower of God like Moses, like Joshua, like David, like Peter, like James, like Paul. It's a man whose lips continually call men to return to the God of the Bible and the laws of the God of the Bible. It's a man whose lips continually preach that this Jesus, whom ye slew and hung on a cross, this Jesus, this Yeshua, has God made both Lord and Savior. The minister of God described in Romans 13 is a preacher, a deacon, who has given his life continually to the purpose of punishing evil as defined in the law, statutes, and commandments of God. If someone claims to be the minister of God as described in Romans 13, and they preach any other king, any other law, any other statute than those contained in the Word of God, if he advocates for citizenship in any other nation other than the Commonwealth of Israel, that man is an imposter. He is the child of a devil masquerading as an angel of God. He is not the minister of God to thee for good. Can't believe how far we've come as a people who claim to be the people of God. And we applaud athletes like Drew Brees, who because of the mere mention of Jesus or the Bible can openly talk about his public worship of a flag. And because we've become so desperate for someone to speak out against the violence and looting and rioting, we as followers of Christ somehow get a warm and fuzzy feeling because someone, a white guy, seemingly had the guts or the nerve to say something about the crazies out there, not realizing that what he said is ultimately the reason why the foundations have been destroyed. A very good friend of mine, and I've mentioned him before, not by name, but he sent me a message this week. And this friend of mine is not a follower of Christ, but he is, I'll call him a disgruntled American. Well, he wrote to me and he said, "How about Drew Brees? He disrespectfully disagrees about kneeling during the national anthem, and now he's a KKK member. Of course, LeBron jumps on him and even his Black Saint teammates. Brees should pull an Andrew Luck and quit the night before the Saints' first season game, and I'm serious." All right, then I responded saying, "I hate to tell you, but I'm against Drew Brees too, and against everyone who thinks their grandfathers fought for freedom. Freedom in America is a laughingstock, one of the biggest deceptions man has ever fallen for." Well, then he said, "I will agree that we're all getting played." And I said, "We've been lied to about every single thing in life. The U.S. is a total sham. Not so much the common man, but government, religion, science, health, education, etc. But the common man is not guiltless because he is allowed everything in exchange for McDonald's and the NBA or the NFL. And as long as they can have their amusements, everything else can go to hell." And then he replied again, and this is a rather lengthy, but what he says needs to be discussed because this is a man who's revealing his thoughts. This is a man who's not a follower of Christ, but he's telling me what his thoughts are. And he says this, "I'm thinking this through and about down the road. One, middle-aged white men are hated for no reason. Why was Jerry Jones scared during the time people had enough with the kneeling during the flag?" And for those of you who may not know, Jerry Jones owns the Dallas Cowboys. Then he continues, "He's a businessman and knows the importance of filling his stadium, selling merchandise, concessions, parking, and sponsorship money. Nike is in business to sell shoes. Not sure how long they can survive by people not shopping at the checkout to pay for their shoes, also known as the 2020 transaction of goods known as looting. The younger generation of 18 to 25-year-olds who protest and hate us and want to do away with police have no money. What happens to the NBA and NFL if people stop caring? The virus already has set them both back. And the virus mentality will significantly hurt putting people back next to each other in the stands. I've had enough of being preached at by ESPN and the late night talk shows, so I'm also done with those. Why do we care about people we don't know who hate whites playing games that don't matter to us? My life is not impacted by any team win that takes place. Then finally I wrote back to him and I said, absolutely. But you and I are not the middle-aged whites whose hatred or where hatred should be directed. Yeah, I hate the Jerry Joneses of the world who make backdoor deals with crooked politicians knowing that they will not be affected, other than being made richer on the backs of working people like you and me. The rich ruling class in America today is basically white. Anyone can see that. There are some Jews in there, of course, but the ones in the public eye are mainly white people. People like Jerry Jones and Donald Trump make all sorts of wicked deals to line their pockets, and many times do so at the peril of the common man. Sure, you guys will get to open your stadiums again someday, and you'll make more money than ever. But just play along with us for a little while longer while we institute more stringent guidelines on the peasants. We need to pull back more and more freedoms. And just be patient. We'll get back to you making more of your billions. The foundations have been destroyed. What can the righteous do? Well, we can talk. We can testify. Every chance we get, we can try to persuade men against their belief systems that have no basis in truth. Be ready to give an answer to every man who asketh of the hope that lieth within you. I talk to my friend about the kingdom of God all the time. I'm always trying to point him to the scripture in our discussions. But when dealing with the law, sometimes we need to try to reach them with principles of the scripture, not necessarily chapter and verse. Because the natural man receiveth not the things of God, neither can he know them, for they're spiritually discerned. My friend is so desperate for someone to defend white people. He's so desperate for some kind of common sense out there that the white man is the persecuted one in this country. And to a certain extent, I can certainly see that. But the reality is, whether it's white men like Jerry Jones and Donald Trump or Jews like George Soros and others, the problem is that all of them are working in concert with each other to advance the state and keep the kingdom of God underground. Look, Drew Brees, I'm sorry that your grandfathers were so deceived during World War II that they thought they were fighting for freedom and righteousness and goodness, but they were not. It stinks. Yeah, I get it. For men to have enlisted in the army thinking they were fighting for freedom, when the truth is they were not fighting for freedom, but they were fighting so that certain white men and Jews could better line their pockets at the expense of sincere boys and young men who thought they were fighting for a cause. Yeah, that stinks. But just because it stinks, and just because we know people who were in the Army or the Navy or the Marines, doesn't change the reality of it all. Flag waving, anthem singing, dying for the Constitution is all evidence to the fact that the foundations have been destroyed. And if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? We, brothers and sisters, have no choice but to roll up our sleeves, lock arms with the brethren, and begin to build the foundations again. Someone, somewhere, is going to have to stand up and be like Moses and call the people together, assemble, and help us escape the nation. The nation that we live among today has finally revealed itself as the monster it's always been. Yes, it's always been a monster. Since that baby monster was born in 1787, it's always been a monster. A good friend of mine wrote to me last week and said, quote, I can finally see how people who claim to be followers of Christ may soon be persecuted for their faith. Yes, indeed. But the reality is, those who are truly followers of Christ have been persecuted for their faith for a long time in this country. The U.S. criminalized, and again, I purposely used that word criminalized, the U.S. criminalized Christianity a long, long time ago. But the reason we haven't seen it is because we've lost sight of what the gospel is. We've been lied to from the pulpits of America by men who have said that God himself did away with his laws, commandments, and statutes and allowed mere men to replace them with their laws, commandments, and statues for the life of me. I can't understand how people who call themselves followers of Christ failed to see through those men. Men like Thomas Jefferson, who said that many teachings of the Bible were like a dunghill. Well, maybe there were true followers of Christ who saw through it, and they were simply written out of the pages of history. I guess we may never know until we're in the presence of our Lord and He reveals some of those things to us. Maybe someday when we're in the presence of the saints, we'll learn about those who were written out of the pages of the history books, but indeed did stand for the kingdom of God. I simply cannot understand how a man or a woman who calls himself a follower of Christ could not recoil in physical and mental anguish at the thought of jumping to their feet and placing their hand on their heart when a certain song is played. I do not understand this. I simply cannot understand how a man or a woman who calls himself a follower of Christ can place their hand on their heart and swear allegiance to a flag and to a republic that it stands for, a republic that recognizes sodomite marriages, a republic that has for itself LGBT queer mayors of their largest cities, a republic that has murdered probably close to 200 million innocent babies since the 1920s. A republic who sat glued to their TV sets one day while the leaders of their republic burned alive women and children in Waco, Texas. And the response was, ho-hum, business as usual, let's go to McDonald's. I don't understand how people today will continue to claim the name of Christ and will still prefer to be called the sons of Pharaoh's daughter with their earthly citizenship rather than to suffer affliction with the people of God. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. What does this mean? What does this look like? I know what it's meant for me. I know what it's meant in my life. I can tell you that coming out is only a part. It's a start, but it's only a part. Coming out of without going into is not the complete answer. I've been saying this for over 30 years, and I'll say it again. The answer to every question, not just if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? But to every question, the answer is Ecclesia, the called out Christian community of believers. This is not a spiritual community only. It is a physical community with physical land, with physical laws, with physical judges, with a spiritual king. Come out from among them and be separate. Indeed, it can happen with any man, with any woman, with any boy, with any girl, in any so-called nation, anywhere on God's creation. It can happen. It has happened. Coming out, yes, but that's just a part. Escape the nation, yes, but that's only a part. Our King came to the door and called for his sheep to assemble and gather themselves in the sheepfold. But then they were told to come out of the sheepfold and follow the shepherd. The shepherd led them to new pastures. The shepherd was teaching them about his government, his kingdom, which was totally separate from the sheepfold from which he took them. I know this sounds too hard. I know this probably sounds insurmountable in our day and age, but I often think about those followers of Christ who left Europe to come to a completely strange land, not knowing what they might encounter when they arrived. I think about this often. How in this world could I build a house if I couldn't go to Lowe's and buy some lumber? I mean, what about screws? What about nails? I mean, how could I drill a well if I couldn't call the well driller and have him come out with his big rig? I mean, but somehow, a group of men assembled themselves together on a boat. I mean, think about it. How many of us would go on a big wooden sailboat and head out for England today? Well, I can't see it for myself. But somehow, a group of men assembled themselves on a wooden boat and headed west to an unknown land. And they came to dry land and they started building. I mean, they had to gather their food too while they were trying to build. I mean, how could what those men determined to do back then be less difficult than what we're called to do today? They came here to build ecclesia. That's what their early documents said. I mean, as I see it, we're far more advantaged than what those men were. Am I missing something? I mean, they were obeying their God against what seems to me insurmountable odds. Think about the amount of courage it took just to get on the boat. I mean, the Atlantic Ocean took down the Titanic, for goodness sake. I mean, was their wooden sailboat better than the Titanic? I have no idea. Maybe it was. I don't know. But I can tell you this, though. In the world of 1914, or whenever it was, if men had a choice to ride the Titanic, or ride the Mayflower, I can't see one man alive choosing the Mayflower over the Titanic. But which one of them sank? In 2020, who in their right mind would choose the ecclesia of God over the big, mighty, powerful United States government and all of its weaponry and armies and police departments? I don't know, but I can tell you this. The Titanic is taking on water fast, and the lifeboat that's coming is called the HMS Ecclesia, His Majesty's Service Ecclesia, and that boat is looking really, really good compared to the beast that I'm seeing today.
You've been listening to God Send Us Men Ministries with evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart. To contact us or to read and listen to more teachings online for free, visit godsendusmen.com.
When hope and strength is gone, you're the one who calls me on. You are the life, you are the fight within my soul. Oh, your resurrection power burns like fire in my heart. When waters rise, I lift my eyes up to your throne. We are more than conquerors through Christ. You have overcome this world, this life. We will not bow to sin or to shame. We are defiant in your name. You are the fire that cannot be tamed. You are the power in our veins, our Lord, our God, our conqueror. I will sing into the night. Christ is risen and on high. Greater is he living in me than in the world. No surrender, no retreat. We are free and we're redeemed. We will declare over despair, you are the hope. We are more than conquerors through Christ. You have overcome this world, this life. We will not bow to sin or to shame. We are defiant in your name. You are the fire that cannot be tamed. You are the power in our veins, our Lord. our God, our conqueror. Nothing is impossible. Every chain is breakable with you. We are victorious. You are stronger than our hearts. You are greater than the dark. With you, we are victorious. We are more than conquerors through Christ. You have overcome this world, this life. We will not bow to sin or to shame. We are defiant in your name. You are the fire that cannot be tamed. You are the power in our veins, our Lord, our God, our conqueror.